This episode of Ticket Volume is brought to you by us, Invigate. Get service operations under control in no time. Get one free month of our software solution by going to try.invigate.com. Ticket Volume is proud to host two leaders in the business relationship management community to discuss the benefits of combining concepts and frameworks within IT to maximize value and operational maturity. Now, before I introduce our guests, if you're listening to this episode after it's released, we're sending our subscribers a full guide with 14 different IT service frameworks that they can use to guide their service management work. If you want it too, look for the link in the description. And you're going to want to subscribe and register at Ticket Volume because this is the only way to join these live podcasts going forward. Check us out at ticketvolume.com. Now, our guests. Jyoti Chopra has over 15 years of experience stimulating and shaping business demand across various functions. She is currently the IT Business Relationship Manager at SCI Group, Inc. Some of her previous roles include Director of IT at Saksham IT Solutions and Senior IT Manager at Glaze Trading India. In addition, she was named Top BRM in 2023 by Business Relationship Management Institute and Daryl Popowich, who is a visionary in the BRM community. Former Chief Visionary of the BRM Institute, he has over 25 years of experience in the IT world, occupying multiple positions, including Manager of IT Enterprise Services at TransAlta, Vice President of Information Technology at H&R Block Canada, and Managing Director at Online Business Systems. His primary focus is improving IT's capability to explicitly connect IT to business objectives that increase organizational value delivery. Welcome to Ticket Volume Live Webinars, where good service is good business. And these episodes are an opportunity to be the news and information for improving IT experiences. I'm your host, Matt Barron, and each week I get to hype up leaders to share their insights on service management, technology, and business, and this episode is going to be more of that gold. I hope you've had a good week, and I also hope that you get involved today by asking a question in chat or providing your insights as we're speaking. So let's begin. Welcome to Ticket Volume, Jyoti and Daryl.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Yes, it's a lot. I'm a lot of energy sometimes in the morning. So my apologies to begin with, but also like let's try to keep the energy up because sometimes these topics are a little nerdy, if you know what I mean.
I know. Hope your energy is infectious.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very kind. Usually I pump up the guests, but I'm willing to take it the other way as well. So we're live, so if you are joining us, please put a comment in chat. But we're going to start off with some questions that I put together because, like I said, I'm a nerd, so let's get into it. I want to know what you guys think about this specifically, because with the price hikes that are happening in ITIL and with the changes that are happening specifically post-pandemic, but the changes that are always happening in our changing world, people are looking for answers. They're looking for solutions. Why do you think that people that best practices are such a hot topic and something that people always want to discuss? And Jyoti, if you don't mind, could you answer first?
Yeah, sure. Matt, when you say best practices, so there are no more theories, so there are practices. So we need to follow those and we need to learn from the experiences for others. That's why they are best practices. So that is why every organization, like, you know, staying in the market is just not the vision. Like, you have to grow. So you have to follow, you have to innovate, you have to see what market competitions are doing. So you have to check what fits in your situation or scenarios or your culture, maybe. So I think, you know, that's why best practices people look forward to. And
I heard someone describe it recently that best practices are like a lagging indicator, right? They take time to publish, they take time to get out. And so they're not necessarily leading the way, but they're sort of like researching the way. Daryl, what have you got to add here?
You know, I think that even long before COVID, figuring out how to get the staff, the employees in a department, and the sub functions inside of a department to act and behave together in a particular fashion requires bringing in a framework so that everyone, as they're learning on the fly day by day, they're learning against that backdrop the same way. So if you have one project team that goes off and they're, whether it's an agile stream and they're going in for, you know, 6-12 months, where you have a, you know, waterfall projects and they're going off and doing their thing, when those initiatives or engagements get integrated into the organization, or those teams get integrated back into different engagements, you don't have this clash of how things are supposed to be done. And you take that a step further when you expand your workforce and bring in others, and you say you're an ITIL shop or any framework, and someone comes in expecting a particular behavior, and the shock of seeing people doing it completely differently. Like, so many times you hear about, oh, we do agile. Somebody comes in and it's like, you're not even like doing it right at all. You just put name some people product managers and product owners and did all the same stuff and put a whiteboard up in front of them, and that's it. And so that can create such confusion and actually really draw back on the cultural impact of people getting engaged about making a difference. So that is why it's such a hot topic. And so many times you'll hear at that executive table, we have to do it this way. Pick one and let's go. Just pick one and let's go.
There is no one.
Yeah, there is no one.
No one.
I like that. I like that. You mentioned a couple of concepts that, and I think the agile one is such an easy one to pick on because we've all run into that where, oh, now we, instead of, you know, meeting up in the morning and talking about our work together, we go to the scrum. And all it is the same ceremony with a different name on it. Lipstick on a pig, I believe is the phrase, the parlance, if you will. But I like that you pointed that out, because that is something that sometimes doesn't work. Right. There are things that when you're discovering these concepts and ways of working, these management methods, whatever they are, there are things that work and some things that aren't work. So what do you guys discover? Like, of course, we just beat up on Agile and we can beat up on them some more. But what do you see that's not working, Jyoti?
What not works is not building relationships. So if you are not building relationships, it will fail. So I'm not saying that it's not easy. It's a challenging. You are connecting with people when it's saying building relationships. So it's, you might be vulnerable at times, but you need to learn from the conflicts. So not learning from conflicts and moving forward will not work. Then apart from relationships, what can help or what can cause the failure is not having open communications. So not having open communications, not having transparency, be it a good news or bad news, you need to share everything. So I think those things are very critical. And of course, if you're not innovating, so that will not work.
Good point. Yes. And Daryl, what have you got to add here? What do you see working or not working?
So I'll just layer on that frameworks give you the instruction booklet of how to do particular processes, behave in certain meetings, but organizations and leaders are bringing in frameworks to fix some kind of a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't just run around, oh, let's try a new frame. No, there's something wrong that you're trying, or you want to improve on, whether maybe it's not wrong, but you're trying to get a competitive differentiator advantage. And not understanding what the behaviors that are getting in the way of moving the organization forward, and they're all people related, right? So if you have a culture where people like holding people to process execution, doesn't matter, at the sake of accomplishing something together, doesn't matter what framework you bring in, you're still going to have people holding them over accountable to not delivering on process. And without understanding that, then you're not going to get to the root of why frameworks and processes and everything else is failing, is you have the breakdown in how people are working together. You know, so often my teams probably get sick and tired of hearing me say this. We want the process so everyone knows when I am doing something as your leader outside of the process. Mm-hmm. That's when we need the extra eyes on it. When it's following the process, that just follows through. Like, we don't have to have eyes on it. People know what the expectations are of delivery. But most importantly, it's when we are choosing something that falls outside of it. Now we need to know, what are we not doing right? What are we shortchanging? Where are we cutting corners so that we don't have a disaster at the end? Yeah.
I'll add here, so like in the scenarios, we have requirement gathering meetings like in any IT teams. So when the business starts with the solution, right? It's a business requirement meeting, and the people are coming with the solutions. Guys, this is not going to work. Let's start with the problem first. Let's analyze the problem first and then start from there. And then we are open to the solution ideas and all, but the things that the people imposing the solutions will not work. We have to start from the problem statements in the meetings.
That's such a good follow-up to that. And it's such a good follow-up to your answer about building relationships, because that is really what it's all about, right? If you have that trust and someone says, hey, this isn't going to work, then you trust that. You know, you know that they know their work, and your background says it all, right? Better relationships,
better world.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's such a good point that not only is it about understanding the people who are working with and serving, but also like understanding where the boundaries are, like what Daryl was saying. You know, set expectations, just set them, meet them, and people will be happy. And going outside of that fence line is really dangerous. If you're just joining us, we had a little problem at the beginning where we didn't hit stream right away. And we've got some great resources for you. We've put together a guide of 14 best practice frameworks and methodologies. So if you're listening to this recording, we've got it in the link below. And then for those of you who are joining us live, we'll post the link in chat or get it to you via email at the end of this recording. And you may not have heard, but this is an interactive session. So make sure you put chat. There's a chat on the side so you can ask questions. Provide your ideas, your thoughts. You know, maybe you hate Agile too and just need to rant. Throw it in chat and we'll laugh about it together, hopefully. So you both are BRM experts. And I have to admit, I've never taken any BRM training. My experience with relationship building is through human-centered design, which I think is very similar to BRM. But what I would love to hear from you both is a time when BRM has helped, like a project where it's helped, or maybe a company that had an outcome it was trying to achieve. We've been starting with Jody every time, so this time I'll start with Daryl. Daryl, where's a time where BRM has saved the day?
Pretty much every tax season or block, for crying out loud. You know, well, except the first one. When I joined H&R Block, I did not know what I was getting into. Little bit of context, or sorry, everyone, a little bit of context about the magnitude of the problem. So outside of tax season in Canada, the size of the organization is about 300 storefronts and about 1,200 part-time tax pros, professionals. In a three-week period in February, that grows to over 1,200 locations from 300 and grows to about 8,000 employees. And so that's a merger if you've ever heard of one, but you only got 3 weeks to do it. And then the reward for getting that all up and going is on April 30th, midnight to about May 1st, 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to shut all of that down. So you have a divestiture to go through. And so it's a monumental task year in and year out to get that done successfully. and then unwind it all. And where BRM saves the day, first year coming in, I thought it was going to work, didn't work smoothly and seamlessly, as anyone can imagine. So creating a BRM mindset of understand the actual world they live in, everyone go out and pick a different part of the country and either visit in person or talk to them remotely and explain what this the difference is of the problems they have across the country. And then let's get these problems together. And then when we're coming up with the solutions, we're trying to have enough of the problems across the country on getting this monumental task set up, delivered. Coming from that perspective, created that trust relationship. You at least heard me of what I'm trying to do. And you're telling me you're trying to solve it, or I'm sorry, we can't, because we have to solve most of the country, and this year we can't help you with your particular problem, but we understand that and we'll try to get it in the future. And that's that first component of any relationship. Try to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes before you think that you can actually tell them what they're doing wrong.
I love that. I love that. You can fail and that still builds trust, right?
Right.
Those big details, you know, when you fail, it's like, oh, at least you actually understand, like the last people didn't understand, or for the last 20 years, no one's been understanding us. So as soon as someone starts to empathize and build that trust, you start to improve the cycle, as opposed to it just being a cycle of abuse. You know, you sort of break that cycle and start to improve it. Jyoti, have you got a story in mind, something that stands out in your mind where BRM helped?
Oh, yeah. Sharing from one of the previous organization, they were like in the phase of introducing a new ITSM tool. So it was a new way of working for the teams, and it was coming for the first time, though it was there in the market for long, but you know, people were used to work in the old traditional ways, and change management is never easy, you know. So there were a lot many resistance from various departments and people, and there were challenges. So therein the BRM came in, like there comes a role. So we facilitated the dialogues between different departments. They were working in silos and they are happy with that. So, but that somebody needs to break the, you know, silos and solos, I'll say that. So BRM is the perfect role for that. So we were able to bring them on the same table, listen. So listening is what BRM does. So listen to their concerns, both sides, listening to their fears or maybe their apprehensions, why they're not opening to accepting the new change. So we were able to align the priorities or maybe overcome the obstacles these people were facing, and we were able to get the buy-in from the stakeholders. And then, you know, slowly and gradually we were able to implement, and then, you know, people were happy with the results of the tools, of course.
Yeah, such a good example, because it's so common.
Yeah.
You know, people spend 8-12 hours a day in these tools, and you rip it out from underneath them, and suddenly their whole world is flipped upside down. And correct. And I love that you point this one out specifically, because it really exemplifies how different frameworks attack different problems differently, right? That OCM element, that organizational change management element, it's always something that people are paying attention to in, I think, every framework, project management for sure, HR for sure. And if you've got a BRM practice or even an ITSM practice, it's something that you need to have so that people, you know, change well. And Peter Gerritsen commented, I'd say admitting a failure makes you stronger. He's definitely agreeing with you there, Daryl. And he's right, because it makes you stronger, you know, as a professional, as a solo, as you said, Jyoti. I like that, silos and solos. Yeah. But it also makes the other person stronger and your relationship stronger. And, you know, it feels like I'm in therapy, like we're having a conversation about relationships, but in reality, that's what we are doing is forming relationships together. That's what work is, right? So I've got the key question here. It's sort of like the holy grail of questions when it comes to frameworks and concepts and methodologies and management methods. And so I don't expect you to have the right answer because I don't know that there's a right answer. But the question is, what is the right combination of concepts and why? And Jyoti, I'll let you kick this one off.
I'll say the right combination of BRM and ITSM is the right combination of concepts here. So that's the best example because, you know, ITSM focuses on incident management, change management, and, you know, and both are customer focused, I'll say. ITSM and BRM are customer focused that bring them together. And BRM is all about communication. So it helps, you know, ITSM practices to go down the system into the organization. And I think right concept combination, what to pick and what not to pick depends on the organization's specific needs and objectives. But we should remember that whatever organization delivered or how we work or what concepts we pick defines the culture and, you know, it impacts the employee morale. And we need to be very conscious, listen to the feedbacks, try, experiment, learn, readjust. So we have to make the right choice of concepts when we are, you know, experimenting. So
I love that. I love that. Daryl, do you have some advice to give when people are experimenting and trying to find the next thing?
So I'm just going to pile on with Jyoti is that BRM is that top concept, that top framework, the one ring to rule them all, if you will. And why?
Excellent.
Yeah. Bringing in a PMO and you can choose whichever PMO discipline. They're focused on delivering projects. Bringing in IT service management. IT service management is focused on incidents and requests and getting consistency around it. You bring in any of the cybersecurity and they're focused on the attack vectors. And all of those are focused on the doing and the activities inside the organization when where the business relationship management is ensuring that the relationships inside those frameworks, pick whichever one you have, agile, etc., across the board, they get so fixated on inside, they're not connecting as a discipline to the value at the top level of the organization. It's a really hard job, and that's probably why most of those frameworks like, you know what, I don't want to do that, because we don't know what those executives are thinking. How in the world can we tell them that we're on value or we're off value when it's so hard for them to explain? And so with all of the different frameworks you're bringing together, the concept of having that one role or that one organization or that mindset, even in your leadership of, okay, how do we drive the most value out of the things everyone is doing and are able to connect it to? Did we spend more of today than less of today driving the value of the organization, the purpose of what we're trying to do? Someone wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning Monday and their last drink on Friday evening is focused on connecting to that value, then you have the right mindset, the right set of concept. Doesn't matter what other framework comes in, you're still going to layer on that connection right at the very top.
I love it. It makes me want to actually study BRM. So congratulations on the pitch there.
No, I love the...
Go for it.
I love the statement that BRM rings all the frameworks. Thank you, Daryl, for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like, I mean, other frameworks, they do talk about relationships. They try to put ceremony and artifacts around those things, but not to the extent that BRM is. So that is a fantastic pitch for that. I love the concept that you said, on value or off value. Kind of an interesting concept. Is that built into BRM or is that just your phrasing, Daryl?
No, that's absolutely built into BRM.
The
reporting about the initiatives, the engagements, whatever. Are you on value or off value, right? Like you've heard this Everyone's heard the story of the Walmart CEO walking around and asking, what are you doing to drive customer satisfaction? And if they don't get the answer, they don't have an answer right now. What are you doing? There's the question of they are missing the point, right? And so many CEOs do the same thing. Many leaders are asking, and you just can't have the few at the top asking. It has to be pervasive in everything that you do.
Yes. That's the best way to achieve your goals, is to have everyone aligned to that goal all the time. Oh my gosh. Man, well, I thought I was going to study BRM, and now I really have to study BRM. All right, fine. I've got one last big question for you guys. So if you're just tuning in live, feel free to throw a question in chat. Try to stump Jyoti and Daryl. See if you can come up with something. Maybe you want another detail about BRM. Maybe you've got a framework that's better than BRM, and this is a way to promote it. But there might be some fisticuffs involved. So what should people do to stay relevant? How should not only leaders, because leaders are doing what Jyoti said earlier, you know, discovering different frameworks, but how should individual contributors also stay relevant so that when they're switching jobs or even staying in their existing job and maybe wanting to add more value, what can they do to stay relevant and continue to be valuable to their organization? Jyoti?
Yeah, sure. So I would say that, first of all, believe in continuous learning. So if you want to be relevant, so you have to learn continuously. So you should be curious. If you are not curious, you will not learn. You will not try to figure out where to learn, from where to learn. So you being curious, believing in continuous learning, then experimenting new things, not getting scared of failures, like Daryl said, and not accepting the failures as well. And so these are the few individual behaviors that are important to be relevant. And then, of course, networking, joining Matt with the podcast. So networking, learning from others, that's how you can be relevant to the market, because market is changing rapidly. You know, yeah. We can't even see that happening.
Yeah, exactly. There's new ideas and new concepts all the time.
Yeah. My
book budget just continues to grow every year. I end up buying more and more books.
And the training budget, the BRM, is in your pipeline now.
Yeah, Jyoti's making sales. I love it.
No. Don't just stop at BRM, PLC, being done those things, but do the CBRM. So that will actually give you the practices on the real ground with scenarios. So BRMP is a rule book, you know, framework. Okay. And then CBRM is the real practices on the ground, if Daryl can support that. Like, so don't stop, you know, keep doing.
Okay. Yeah. Daryl, what tips would you give people that are trying to stay relevant and on top of their game?
We talked a little bit about it and touched on it here in this conversation. Absolutely become literate in the newest framework coming out and be able to reference how they integrate into other existing frameworks, especially in your organization. You know, we've done a little bit of piling on and pointing the finger at Agile as, you know, oh, there's the savior. You know, there are many organizations that bring Agile in and transform their organization to wild success. Mm-hmm. And so we can't just pick the latest fad. Like, you know, I remember the days of cloud, and cloud was going to solve everything. And you ask any executive who said cloud was going to solve anything, and they had no idea what it meant. Even the IT leader didn't know what it meant. And it took so long to figure it out. But so embrace the new things that come in and get ahead of it, just ahead of the next conversation you have in a meeting, so that you're able to articulate what this new fad is and how you think it can be a contribution to the organization, and then what some of the potential roadblocks of trying to accept and adopt, because people will try to accept and adopt it.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely understand what's going on. Like in you know, ChatGPT changed the world forever. Oh. I don't think we'll understand what that world change looks really meant until, you know, a couple more iterations or a couple more years down the road. But man, it changes everything. So how does something that changes everything change all of the things that you've done before? If you don't have an answer for that for yourself, then you are falling behind.
Yes. So
don't let yourself fall behind.
Oh, that's such good wisdom. I love specifically that last point, yes. And I like that you pointed out paying attention to what the other people in your organization are using, the adjacent teams, because you end up having to be like a translator between the two. You know, you're speaking ITSM, but you're going to talk to the app dev team. You got to understand SAFe, or at least a little bit of the agile principles, because if you're sitting in on that scrum, I mean, there's the I don't want to look like an idiot part, but then there's also like, how can I add value here? How can I extract value? How can I add value beyond value or off value? See what I did there.
So it's two way. It's two way. Like, you need to share your what you know, and you know, then given the opportunities, like in our current organization, we have lunch and learn practice. So wherein we do the knowledge sharing thing. So just don't wait for someone else to share the knowledge. If you know anything you want to share, just go ahead. So we believe that we invite guests also from the industry to understand what is happening there. So it's I'll just say that to be relevant, it's not just out of box thinking is important. Sometimes thinking inside the box is also important. What is there currently connecting with, you know, as you mentioned, connect with your teams, with your working with or handshaking with. So that thinking inside the box is also important. So knowledge sharing sessions really help there.
Yeah, that is that lifelong learning isn't just exploring new ideas. It's going back and remembering,
right.
You know, go pick up those giant ITIL books from 2007 and see what's in there still. Maybe there might be value just sitting there waiting for you to pick up. And the beauty of that is that then you don't have to convince a bunch of people. I think the one caution that I always want to try to get people to understand, this isn't zealotry. You know, you don't have to go all the way, you know, just because Agile says it or ITIL says it or BRM says it. Always question, be flexible, be human first. And I want to thank Peter Gerritsen for being here today, of course. Thanks for joining us, Peter. And he had a great comment about the tooling. And then there's the issue of the tooling. He's recently encountered two organizations that thought that changing the tool would solve everything. And all of this without first thinking what and how the new tool should facilitate what they need as a business. My gosh, that is a common story, right? We all think the tool is going to fix everything.
So this is same as giving the solution rather than talking from the problems first, right? So tool is the solution. So talk about the problem with the stakeholders who are actually facing it, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay, that's the end of our live webinar. Jyoti and Daryl, I want to thank you so much for being here today. And as guests, I want to make sure that you get what you need out of this. How can people connect with you if they want to learn more or contract your services? Or, you know, Jyoti was pitching to me earlier. How do people get in touch with you so they can do business with you? Jyoti?
So reach me out on the LinkedIn, and they're on the Twitter as well. So I can share with you the profiles. I think, I'll share with that. Yeah. So you can reach out to me on the LinkedIn.
Yep. And if you can't find her, connect with me. I'll definitely help you connect. Or just look at my posts. She's tagged in them. Daryl, how can people connect with you?
Absolute same way. So, you know, let's go with the regular social platform that is out there, LinkedIn. Connect with me, certainly, you know, understanding how in your world you can speak to the value that is discussed at the executive table. That's where you get the notice as an individual, as a leader in an organization, of speaking from their perspective. They will pipe up, they will lift their heads up at the table and remember that source equipped me to be successful in the conversations and shaping the direction. So I'd love getting in conversation with people around how to make that difference, one, two, three levels ahead above my pay grade.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you so much, you two. Thanks for being on. Thanks for being on Ticket Volume.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, by all means. And if you liked this episode, you are going to love April's webinar. Jean Kim will be on with us live discussing how to prepare your team for the future and his new book with Steven Spear called Wiring the Winning Organization. I'm a huge fan. You will be too. Join us so that you can ask him any questions you like. Maybe read his book beforehand. We'll call it a Ticket Volume Book Club. And if you've never been to one of our live recordings, register for free at invigate.com/ticket-volume/live or ticketvolume.com and get a free map of IT tools to enhance your IT support offering. We've also dropped the link in the description below. And to our audience, what are you looking for? We have tons of ideas and we want to give more value to the community, but we need your input. Leave a comment or email us at ticketvolume@invigate.com. Thank you for listening to Ticket Volume. And speaking of Ticket Volume, did you know that this podcast is brought to you by Invigate? It's a fit-for-purpose service desk solution with integrated asset management designed to let you focus on supporting your organization without arduous implementations and the pain of ripping tools out from underneath people's feet. In fact, service teams from Toyota, NASA, and McDonald's use Invigate to manage requests, automate workflows, and centralize inventory data so that they can focus on delivering better service. Because good service is good business.